Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
Once the door is locked, there's no way out.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former wide receiver Mike Pritchard. Let me remind you about Mike's background. He was born on Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina and grew up in Las Vegas. Played his college ball at the University of Colorado, where he helped them to a share of the national championship in 1990. And that season, Mike was voted team MVP. He was inducted into Colorado's Hall of Fame in November of 2015. He was a first-round draft pick, the 13th overall selection by the Atlanta Falcons in 1991. And he played in the league from 91 to 1999 for the Falcons, Broncos, and Seahawks. Over the course of his career, he had 422 receptions for just under 5,200 yards, and he scored 26 touchdowns. And we are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Mike, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Mike, I wanted to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on your alma mater, the University of Colorado. They finished 5-7. Last season, down from a 10-win season in 2016. So what are your expectations for your Buffaloes this year?
Well, I think a return to glory would be nice. the program still in building stages or rebuilding stages, and you're going to have those years when you compete for a Pac-12 championship, and then, you know, you lose some great players to graduation, and then you just don't, you know, you just don't have the ingredients in the cupboard to replace those great players right away. So it takes a year or two. There's a gap in there. But I think Coach McIntyre is closing that gap. And so we lost a lot of great players last year. But Buff fans, Buff Nation, we're kind of eager to see the new guys this year.
And, Mike, going back to your time when you were there, your last season, a freshman quarterback came in, Vance Joseph. In 1990.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, Vance is the head coach now in Denver. So what do you remember about Vance, and is it cool having him, one of your teammates now, as the head coach there in Denver?
Oh, it's so cool. You know, I'm so happy for Vance Joseph. This guy, he has worked and worked and worked, and has paid off. You know, he was one of those names that was sought after, and the Broncos were lucky to get him, to be honest with you. First time head coach, and you go through growing pains your first year, but as a teammate, I just remember Vance Joseph, we call him VJ, being very engaged. He wanted to just learn everything, learn every position. It was almost as if he was preparing himself to be a head coach someday. I don't know if it was going to be National Football League or college, but, Vance Joseph was just so aware of what we were doing offensively from every position. That, again, it's no surprise that he is where he is in terms of the head coach of the Denver Broncos, but just an engaging teammate and a guy that wanted to learn.
And, Mike, you know, you look at the Broncos last season, they finished 5-11. Now they bring in Case Keenum to start, you know, as their new quarterback. They get first-round pick Bradley Chubb to come in to help secure, you know, that defense. How do you feel about them coming into this season? Can they turn things around, and can they be a force, do you think, in the AFC West this season?
I think they can be a force. You know, they have a veteran core that are champions. You know, I'm talking about the Von Millers, the Chris Harris Juniors, the Brandon Marshalls. I mean, I think these guys on defense are very hungry. On offense, they still have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but they didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have a leader. And really, they've been looking for that person ever since Peyton Manning has left, and they seem lost. You know, out here in Colorado, I like to say that this team and these champions grew up with Peyton Manning. I mean, they had him for 4 years, and that was a different kind of standard. But once he left, once he retired, I really believe they lost their way. And now with Case Keenum, they got a guy who's confident. They got a guy who's more than capable. And a guy who was that close to getting to the Super Bowl. So Case Keenum's hungry. The veteran group is hungry. And this new core, this draft class from 2018, highly talented, and certainly they're learning to be hungry. So, yeah, I think they can bounce back. And I'm not going to try to raise the bar too high, but I do think they'll be more competitive this year.
Bob, questions for Mike?
Good to have you back, Mike. And I'm thinking back on your Colorado days, and I also remember quarterback Darian Hagan. To me, he was one of those really all-around athletes that just happened to be a quarterback. You guys really didn't throw the ball that much, Mike, but he was seemed like an elusive runner, could do a lot. And from what I gather and remember, I think he played multiple sports. Give us your memories of Hagan.
Oh, Bob, Hagan is unbelievable. We called him Mr. Match because of what he could do with the football. Incredible athlete, like you said, at Locke High School out of California. And, yeah, he played multiple sports. He was a baseball player. But gave that up for football. You know, we were running an option at the time here at CU, and he was tailor-made for option football. But he had a strong arm. He was ambidextrous as well, too. So that made it, that was helpful for us to run option left or run option right. And it's just an incredible, incredible athlete. I think what's underrated about Darian Hagan, though, was his leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. And his believability, his confidence, because, you know, as a team, he was an underclassman. He was younger than us, and we needed somebody to lean on, and here he is as a quarterback taking that leadership role, but assuming that leadership and assuming that confident role, and that really helped us get going. My senior year, you know, we kind of stumbled out the blocks a little bit. We tied Tennessee, and then we ended up losing on the road to Illinois, but we got it together, and a big part of that was Darian Hagan and his leadership skills.
And Mike, your rookie year in Atlanta, we've talked in the past about June Jones. Many considered him and still do an offensive genius. He kind of got you involved right off the bat, 50 receptions in your rookie year. Was his offense a tough one to grasp, Mike? And talk more about him as an offensive leader.
Oh, June Jones. Wow, he's everything. I mean, I was so lucky to have him. My rookie year, like you mentioned, to be able to come in the National Football League from a predominantly running football team at the University of Colorado when you run the option. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the run and shoot in the National Football League. Polar opposites right there, right? So,
yep.
June Jones was instrumental with that. I'll tell you a quick story. You know, certainly during my, courtship, I guess, of the NFL before the draft, I had no idea Atlanta was interested in me. I mean, I was getting interest from various teams, and my agent was telling me anywhere from the second to the third round, and I got one call, a call out of the blue. I was spring break in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I'm from, and it was a little bit rainy, and it was June Jones. And he was like, hey, we're in town. We want to meet you, and we want to work you out from Atlanta Falcons. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's do it. You know, I was so eager and excited, but I wasn't going to turn that meeting down. And we just went out to the campus at UNLV, and I thought I was going to do a workout for him, so I was prepared for that. But all he wanted to do was play catch. And he stood about 10 to 15 yards from me throwing bullets. I mean, the guy had an amazing arm, and I was catching him. And he walks up to me after about 15 minutes just tossing the football back and forth, and he says, yep, you can catch. And that was it.
Wow.
That was the extent of the meeting. I know, how brief, right? And you know, a few weeks later, I get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons in the first round, 13th overall. So I get to Atlanta, and I meet with June, I talk to June, and I had no idea that he was a quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons back in the 70s. I didn't know that. That didn't register with me. But so I found out, and that explained the great arm that he had. But, yeah, he was a teacher, and certainly going to the run and shoot, flatten my learning curve in terms of trying to learn how to be a receiver in the National Football League.
Mike, I read an article, speaking of your time here in Atlanta, that Deion Sanders taught you the most during your career. He showed you details and technique on hand placement. Talk about the things that Deion taught you.
Yeah, you know, Deion, amazing athlete, as everybody knows, and the guy who he's coaching now. I mean, he coaches youth football, I believe, and he's always looking for ways to get better. And he was one of the guys who, when I got to Atlanta, showed me around the city a little bit. And then certainly, you know, when you're practicing against Deion, you better open up your mind to learning something. You're playing against the best. You're practicing against the best. And if you want to get better, then if you beat the best or if he beats you, you certainly want that knowledge. And you know, that was instrumental at practice. I think Andre Rison was another guy who I picked his brain. I picked the brain of Michael Haynes. And you know, I was just looking for all sorts of knowledge in order to elevate my game. But yeah, Deion was so receptive and so open to telling you what you were doing wrong, and, you know, if he locked you down. And then certainly if you did something right against Deion, he wanted to know what you saw. So it was one of those learning lessons, and certainly you take that with you throughout your career.
And Mike, you played with, speaking of quarterbacks with a rocket arm, you played for or played with Brett Favre for a minute here in Atlanta. What do you remember about a young Brett Favre?
You know, a young Brett Favre was, he wasn't really getting the most of an opportunity. He wasn't getting a great opportunity there in Atlanta. I mean, we had Chris Miller, who was a pro bowler in that first year. And, you know, Brett was, you know, a guy in the second round. And at that time, you know, Brett was just trying to get noticed. He was trying to stand out. And but what I remember most about Brett was his confidence and really his stubbornness. You know, he was not going to accept being a second backup quarterback or a third-team quarterback. The guy wanted to be the best quarterback in the history of the game. And, you know, I think he that drove him and certainly allowed him to get a different opportunity. I mean, I think Brett would have been looking for another opportunity outside of Atlanta anyway, because, you know, my first impression, he threw me 3 touchdown passes in a season game against the Rams. My first impression was that this guy is not a backup. I mean, I don't think he wanted to be a backup himself, but certainly he didn't present himself that way. So it was just a matter of him getting an opportunity. And lucky for Brett, I mean, he got that trade to Green Bay, and the rest is history. He's Hall of Famer.
And Mike, you went through a freak injury in the 1994 season. I sort of read about it and made me cringe. What happened?
Oh, wow. You know, I got traded to Denver, the Broncos, that my restricted free agency year. And I was doing well. I mean, I had good chemistry with John Elway, and we actually were tied with Tim Brown for the AFC lead at the time. This was 94. Wade Phillips was our head coach, and Jim Fossil was our offensive coordinator. And we were throwing football and trying to just score as many points as we can. And so we had a Monday night football game that particular week. And I was, you know, a focal point of the offense, the spotlight of the offense, really going into that game. And, you know, Friday, you're running 2 minutes around and kind of excited. And there was trying to catch it. And when I caught it, I pulled it in, but instead of rolling, I landed with my stomach area, my kidney area, on top of the football. And that lacerated my kidney. So forget Buffalo game on Monday Night Football and forget the rest of that season. I went to ICU and we almost lost my kidney. So freak accident. You hear about that a little bit more. I mean, I think Andrew Luck had a lacerated kidney. And a couple other players I've heard recently had lacerated kidneys. But when I did it, I mean, it was a rarity and you know, really a freak accident.
Mike, remind our listeners what you're doing now.
Well, I'm on 104.3 The Fan out here in Denver, Colorado. We got a 3-hour show from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. You can catch it online at 104.3thefan.com. You can also catch it on demand as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at M.I. Pritchard, P-R-I-T-C-H-A-R-D on Twitter. So enjoying that, the broadcast game, sports talk radio, and enjoying life.
Mike, you're awesome. We can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We hope we get to continue this relationship, have you back on during the course of the season to hear more of your stories and your insights, because you're fantastic.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. I always enjoy it.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care, Mike. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
All the best. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
See you, Mike.
Take care.
That's Mike Pritchard. And Bob, you look at Mike's numbers and the thing that he alluded to a moment ago. That season when he got hurt, he was off to a fast start and a couple of 100-yard games. And then, you know, the injury happens and he loses the rest of that season. Who knows, you know, what kind of season he would have gone on to have, because he was certainly on Pro Bowl pace. But, you know, great receiver and played for some great teams and had a lot of success in the NFL.
Yeah, we have to get him back on. I want to talk more about his relationship with Elway. Played a couple years. We had a little theme going there tonight, Chris. Rocket arm quarterbacks and great athletes, and that surely was Elway. So, Pritchard, great receiver. Can't wait to speak with him again.